invitation to a group of fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you. Amen. I want to talk tonight about when God paints your portrait. When God paints your portrait. You may be seated. Picasso was a famous Spanish artist, and he was a contemporary with Gertrude Stein, who was a writer famous in the early 1900s. She wanted him to paint her portrait, which he rarely did. So in 1905, 1906, in the wintertime, Picasso started to paint the picture of Gertrude Stein. She came to his studio and sat for him 90 days. And finally, in frustration, he gathered up his canvas and his brushes, and he said with great frustration, "When I look at you, I can no longer see you." And so he went back to Spain. And in the solitude of his studio, he continued to paint the picture of the woman that was not there. In the fall of 1906, he unveiled for everyone to see the completed portrait of Gertrude Stein. Everybody was astounded because she was older. She was pensive and somber and wizened, and when they looked at her picture, finally somebody found the courage to say, "Gertrude's a young woman, that don't look like her." And Picasso said, "She will." And you know what? She did. Over the years, Gertrude began to look like the portrait. You see, a good artist can paint what he sees. Another can paint perhaps what was, but only a master can paint what will be. God, when he paints your picture, he not only sees what is, but he sees what will be. When Jesus walked on the shores of Galilee that day, close by the city of Capernaum, and he saw fishermen there, some brothers, and they were out with their nets, and he walks by to Simon and to Andrew, and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you to become something that you're not. I'm going to make you fishers of men." And the Bible says, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. You know why I like the book of Mark? Because it's so much like Peter. As a matter of fact, some say that Mark wrote the book, but Peter was quoting what to say. Amen. And so some say it's really the gospel, according to Peter, written by Mark. And that's very possible, because it sounds so much like him. The key word to the book of Mark is immediately, straightway. Isn't it like Peter? He was not a patient man. He was a man of action, sometimes reaction. But he was always, it's about now. It's about, let's do something. And so Simon that was a day that marked his life. And he looked back, I'm sure, through the years. And on that day, when that carpenter from Nazareth came by and said, "Follow me." And something gripped him. And he left his nets. He was on his way. He had several boats by now. He had employees by now. It was looking good for his future. There was prosperity on the horizon. But suddenly he left it all behind and followed a penniless carpenter from Nazareth. But oh, what a journey. He saw things he never imagined that he would see. Hallelujah. He was at a wedding feast one day, and I like the way the poet said it. It said, the water in the pot looked up at the face of the Creator, and the water blushed and became white. Only God could do that. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard a man on the radio the other day, and he was saying that God can't do just anything. Well, I believe He can. Amen. He said, because God is bound by laws. Well, let me remind you, God made the laws. And God can change the laws. God can either supersede the laws, or God can interrupt the laws. And that's exactly what He did. Amen. I don't know how He made water wine so quick, but He did. Hallelujah. Isn't that where it all comes from? This familiar stuff we call rain that's been falling around here. Amen. It waters the earth, and the earth produces. It brings forth its fruit. And then God from the fruit makes whatever He desired to make. Amen. He just put it in a quick process. And in the twinkling of an eye, water became wine. My, what a sight. You don't see that just every day. Andrew found the boy that had some fish sandwiches, and he brought him to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He had some biscuits and sardines, and he brought it to the Lord, and he gave it to him, and Jesus blessed it and broke it. And with that, he fed a crowd of 5,000 men and their families. Now, you don't see that every day. I love that miracle. I get excited when I think about that. You know why? Because Peter got to be a part of that. Jesus broke off it had to be a pretty small piece of fish and a small portion of bread, and he gave it to Peter, and he said to all those people out there, he said, go feed them. He looked and he said, with this? What do we want to serve with? Tweezers? And he's looking at this multitude thinking, man, how's this going to work? Amen. So he goes off and he breaks off a little flake of fish and a little crumb of a biscuit, and he hands it to a guy, and he says, you enjoy that now. And boom, all of a sudden in his hands it became a whopper. Amen. And Peter's eyes got big, and he ran over to the next one. He broke off some more fish and some more bread, and boom, it became another whopper. And next thing you know, their fish is flying everywhere, bread's flying everywhere, God's multiplied. Amen. It was an exciting, he got to be a part of that, Brother Baker. Now that don't happen on a fish boat. Amen. You don't see that kind of stuff out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. That was exciting. Amen. And he watched a blind man come tapping his way along, and Jesus reached out, and I love that story where he healed that blind man. He told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he reached down on the ground and he spit, and he made a mud ball, and he got some mud and he smeared it in his eyes, and he said, go wash. I guarantee you he's going to go wash. You ever get mud in your eyes? First thing you do, start looking for water to get it out. Amen. I've always wondered about that miracle. I have two interpretations. One is he wanted to make sure he obeyed, so he put mud in his eyes. And the second is, I think maybe the great Creator created something that was missing and just stuck it in there. Amen. But whatever the explanation was, when he finished, the man came seeing. Hallelujah. And his sight was returned. You don't see that on a fishing boat. Amen. You won't see that on the way to the bank, no matter how much money you have. Amen. That was an exciting thing. And he saw people that come, and they were mute, and they were deaf, and their ears suddenly would hear, and their tongue would be unloosed, and they would begin to glorify and magnify God. He saw people with crooked limbs that were weakened and diseased, and suddenly they received strength, and they began to leap and to run and to praise God. Amen. That was an exciting time in Peter's life. He saw a man with a hand that was all withered and useless. And Jesus said, stretch it forth. And he reached out his hand, and suddenly all of the dexterity clarity came into it, and strength flowed into his arm and into his hand, and he was healed from that moment. He watched a man that had been lame for 38 years get up and pick up his bed and start walking down the street. He saw unimaginable things. He saw lepers that were cursed and outcast, and he watched them as leprosy went away off of their body, and their body was just like the skin of a baby. He watched that. He saw it with his very own eyes. He watched as demons were cast out of a man that had a legion of spirits that was naked, and his body was covered with scabs and scars and bleeding wounds, and madness was in his eyes. But when he fell down and worshiped, all of a sudden Jesus said to the spirits, "Leave this man." And when the spirits left, he watched as clarity came into his eyes and sanity came into his mind and calm rested upon his body. And he found, you know, one of the first things that happen when people get saved is they want to put some clothes on. Amen. And the Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind. He saw that. He was a witness to it. He was a witness to the time that the boundaries of death were breached and the Lord called the dead back to life again. He was walking outside a little city called Nain, and there was a funeral procession, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession and he walked over to the funeral bier where the young lad lay, and he just took him by the hand and he said, "Arise!" And that cold flesh received warmth, and those dead muscles received life. His eyes opened up and began to snap with vitality. He sat up, amen. Praise God. He got off of that funeral bier. Amen. You talk about a funeral that turned into a revival. It was an exciting time. He said, "Man, I never saw anything like this in the fishing boat. We had some good old times on the Sea of Galilee, but not like this. I like this fishing for men. Hallelujah. I like this life. This is so exciting." Amen. He went into a room with Jesus one time where a girl was dead, and just a little girl, and he went in and Jesus took her by the hand and said, "Arise and lift her up." Oh, the joy of that. Amen. When the lifeless limbs of that little girl suddenly were filled with the strength and the vitality of life, and he just gave her back to her parents and said, "There she is. She'll be a handful, but what a joyous handful." Amen. In the time that his friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus went and said, "Roll away the stone," and they rolled away the stone, and death took a deep breath and blew the stench of death across the crowd until everybody stood there shuddering, thinking, "What's he going to do?" And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he lifted up his voice. Amen. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And suddenly there was a stirring in the tomb. Amen. And that wound figure leaped out somehow. Amen. I've always loved that picture. Somehow I just seemed like a pogo stick just hopping out there, still all wrapped up, standing there, his face is covered. He's all wrapped up and wound up. I know people that are wound up need to get unwound. He's all wound up. Amen. And Jesus said, "Loose him. Let him go." Amen. I like that picture. He's standing there. Somebody took the napkin off of his face. And man, his eyes are just snapping with life. And his mouth lets out a big old hallelujah. And somebody starts unwrapping. He gets an arm free. And then he gets another arm free. And he gets his legs free. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's life. And there's dancing. And there's rejoicing. Amen. He never saw anything like that in Capernaum. That's worth more than $1 million in the bank just to see something like that. My, he saw things. Amen. But when God paints your portrait, it's kind of like, who was it? Cromwell. Asked somebody to paint his picture. Now, they tell me that Cromwell had a lot of warts on his face. And so when the artist painted his picture, he left the warts off. Amen. And when he showed the picture to Cromwell, and he saw the picture and there wasn't any warts, he said, "When you paint me, bud, paint me warts and all." Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when God paints your portrait, He's going to paint you warts and all. It's going to look just like you. Amen. You got a bad temper? He's going to paint a bad temper in there. That's what He did for Peter. Amen. Peter had a bad temper. He was an impetuous fellow. He was impatient. He was always chewing at the bits. He was full of life. He was always ready to do something if it was right or if it was wrong. Let's just do something. He suffered from L5M syndrome. You know what that is? Foot in mouth. Amen. He was always saying the wrong thing. Amen. And so he suffered from that. He was a boastful fellow. He told the rest of the disciples that when Jesus said, "You're going to forsake me," He said, "All these other cats might, but not me. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'm willing to go to death with you." Well, he had the opportunity, and he didn't do it. Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." And God has a great sense of humor, don't you think? Do you know who made Peter deny the Lord? A little old teenage girl. Wimp. Weenie. Here's this big, tough fisherman. "I'll never deny you." And a little old girl says, "I know you're one of them. I saw you with Jesus." "Oh no, you got the wrong person." But here he is. See, he even talks like a Galilean. He's one of them. "Ah, you got the wrong person." And then third time the accusation, he said, "Well, I'll cuss a little bit and show you that I'm not him." Amen. And suddenly, the night air was pierced with the crowing of that old rooster. And it was like a sword piercing his heart into his very soul. And the Bible says Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Words of Jesus, true. He denied the Lord that he loved so very much and thought that he would give his life for. But he couldn't stand up to the scrutiny of a young girl. So he denied the Lord. Ultimately, his hopes were crushed. Jesus was crucified, buried in a tomb. And looked like it was all over. He thought, well, that was good while it lasted. But if I can't do anything else, I can fish. Guess what? He couldn't even fish. He come in, he'd been fishing all night long, and they saw somebody on the seashore, and a voice rang across the waves, "Children, have you any meat?" He said, "Oh no, we fished all night, didn't catch a thing." And the carpenter said, "Throw your nets on the right side." Hallelujah. And they did. And the Bible says they caught a great draught of fish. And somebody said, "It's Jesus." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can't even fish right without the Lord. Praise God. You can't even fish right without the Lord. Amen. And so the boats came back. And they sat by the seashore. And there was Peter with fish in his hands and the money in his mind and perhaps some greed in his heart and he's counting fish and he's counting money, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Simon, Barjona, lovest thou me more than these?" And he stopped counting fish for a moment and he said, "Well, Lord, you know that I love you." And then he went back to counting fish. Amen. And the Lord again, Simon, Bar-Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. Amen. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And he goes back to counting fish. And the third time, it stops him in his tracks. Jesus said, Simon, Bar-Jonah, do you really love me? Simon stopped and laid down the fish. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And he said, all right, go feed my lambs. And Peter became the chief shepherd. Amen. The pastor of the flock. A great man. But God painted all of his picture. He didn't leave anything out. He painted the present and he painted the future. Jesus had a lot of confidence in Peter. He told him, he said, Simon, I always like this, it's very interesting. Right before Calvary, Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, he said, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. In other words, he was telling Peter, now you've cast out devils and you've healed people in my name, but you're not converted yet. You're the same old Simon. But when you're converted, where did conversion take place? He named the Lord as being the Christ, the Messiah. Where did his conversion take place? When did he cease being Simon and become Peter, the apostle? Well, I can tell you when that happened. Amen. It was in an upper room in Jerusalem, 40 days after the Passover. Amen. And the Bible said they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that when that happened, God painted a new portrait. You talk about somebody, this man that couldn't stand up to a little girl, he got some steel in his backbone and he stood up and he walked out on Solomon's porch and he began to preach. The Bible said people gathered around, they were laughing because they were out there, they were acting like they were drunk and it was just 9 o'clock in the morning and people gathered around and all of a sudden Peter began to preach. Amen. I don't know if he ever preached before, but he was preaching that morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. He started preaching. He said that we are not drunk as you suppose. He did not deny his drunkenness. He just said, you don't know the source. Amen. It's not wine. Amen. It's new wine. It's Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost will make you act different. The Bible said, "Be not drunk with wine." Be not drunk or with wine. It said, "But be ye filled with the Spirit." Hallelujah! It'll make you act different. It'll straighten you up. It'll straighten you out. Amen. I heard one time about a preacher that got discouraged and quit preaching and became a mortician. And somebody said, "Why in the world would you go from preaching to being a mortician?" He said, when I was a preacher, he said, I tried to straighten out the Smith's kids and I couldn't. I tried to straighten out the Jones marriage and I couldn't. He said, but honey, when I lay them out now, they stay straight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But the Holy Ghost will take the chicken out of you. It'll give you a backbone. That's exactly what it did for Peter. He stood up that day to that crowd and he began to preach. Amen. He got down to the finale and he said, you, with your hands, you've taken that same Jesus that you have crucified. He has made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard that, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He didn't even stutter. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Amen. And I'm telling you, they had revival that day. The Bible says the Holy Ghost came down. Praise the Lord. 3,000 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You talk about a baptismal service. I think it involved more than Peter that day. Hey, I don't believe I can do 3,000 without getting a little tired, Brother Bacon. Amen. They were dunking folks right and left. Woo! Hallelujah. They were having revival. They were having revival, and it started, and revival began to grow, and it began to spread. Praise the Lord. And God was painting His portrait. He said, "Now, I know I painted your temper, and I painted your impetuousness, and I painted your foot and mouth disease, and I painted your denial. But I'm going to finish the portrait now." Amen. And he when he painted this time, he put some steel in his backbone, because the same Peter that couldn't stand up to a girl in a courtyard stood up before the very men that crucified Jesus Christ and witnessed to them. Amen. They condemned himself and John, and they took them and they took cords and whips, and they beat them with lashes until their backs were open and bleeding. Amen. And the Bible says when they left that place, they were rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Amen. I'm telling you, something happened to Peter. He became a different person than he was before. Amen. You know what that is? We call that Holy Ghost baptism. Amen. When the Spirit of God comes into an individual, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. And you become a new person. And God paints that in your portrait. He not only sees what you were, He sees what you can be. He sees what you will be. Some of you that are sitting here today, your picture now is a whole lot different than it was when He started. Amen. When He started out with some of us, we looked pretty rough. Amen. And the good thing is you're looking better every day. Praise the Lord. I keep comforting myself with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's still painting today. He's not finished yet. Don't get too impatient. He's still working on us. Amen. But when God paints your portrait, He not only paints what you were, He paints what will be. He paints what will be. Amen. There was a famous artist that painted the portrait of the disciples at the Lord's Supper. And when he painted the portrait, it was hard to find somebody that he felt like he could capture the image of what he thought Jesus may have looked like. Finally, he found a young man with such a peaceful countenance that he thought, well, he'll do. And so he used him to sit for that portrait, and he painted him as Jesus in the portrait. And then he couldn't find anybody that he felt like he could have the characteristics of Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed the Lord. And so he sought and he sought and he sought, and time passed and years passed, and he couldn't find anybody that he felt like looked like Judas to him, until finally he found a man that life had been so tough on, and he looked tough and he looked bitter, and he had the right look that he thought that's what Judas must have looked like. And so he brought him in and he painted his portrait. day after day, the man sat. And finally, when it was just about over, he asked the artist, he said, "You don't recognize me." He said, "I don't know you." He said, "I sat for Jesus a few years ago." But life had got a hold of that man, and it had crushed him and made him a bitter person. And it twisted his countenance and it aged him to the point that he could no longer be recognized. Amen. I'm telling you, life will do that to people. I've watched it happen. Amen. Praise God. If you want to look good, you need to live for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Aren't we pretty? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, there's some beautiful people here. Amen. But life has a way of twisting and shaping and bitterness and disappointment and disillusionment and betrayals till it can leave you a broken heap. But I'm telling you, God doesn't stop there. He can even take that and he can make something good out of it. Amen. He can get his pen, he said, or his brush, he said, "I'm not through yet. I'm going to paint what is. But that's not all I'm going to paint. When I get through, amen, it'll be a beautiful picture." Hallelujah. God doesn't just paint what you were. He paints what will be. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. They said that Michelangelo was walking through the statuary, and there were chunks of marble, and he was walking past, and suddenly he stopped in the quarry, and he turned around, and there was a big piece of marble there, and he stopped, and his face lit up, and to his assistant that was with him, he said, look. He said, "Can you see that?" He looked and he said, "No." He said, "What do you see?" He said, "It's inside. It's inside that marble." He said, "There's an angel in there, and he's struggling to be free." And the assistant saw a block of marble. But they got the marble and they took it to the statuary studio, and he began to chip away with his mallet and with his chisel, and day by day he worked and he took things away and he chipped things away. And when he finished, all the world could see that inside that block of marble indeed there was a beautiful, powerful angel that was just ready. His wings were spread and he was free. Michelangelo saw that before anybody else saw it. He saw it when it was still just a block of marble. Amen. You see, God's like that. He looks at life and he sees things that we can't see. Amen. A few years ago, you wouldn't have seen Brother Marshall back there as our head usher. Amen. It was a different picture back then. A different picture. Amen. Brother Robbie, a few years ago, it was a different picture in your life. Amen. You weren't sitting here loving God and worshiping and praising. And we could go down the line. We could talk about every person here. You got a story of what it was like. Amen. And you couldn't see it, but God saw it in you. He saw, looked into your life, and he saw things. And when he brought it to me, it's a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. Amen. Praise God. What a great God we serve tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. So what I want to say to you tonight is don't give up, and you let God deal with you and draw you and change you and make you what he wants you to be. If you keep going your own way, it's going to lead you to a place that you really don't want it to be. Your life is going to become, I don't know how you feel about it, but when I was in control of Johnny Grissom, it wasn't a pretty picture. I was doing things I didn't really want to do. Things that I'd be ashamed to talk about now. Amen. But that was what I was doing. I didn't really want to go that way, but I just seemed driven that way. But I thank God that he stepped into my life, 15 years old, Brother Bacon, and he turned things around. Hallelujah. And it's been a whole lot better since he's been in control. Praise God. Would you stand with me tonight? God not only sees you as you are, he sees you what as you will become. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God offers new beginnings. When he walked that day on that seashore and he looked at Peter, or Simon as he was called, and he said, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." Simon didn't really have the slightest idea what he was talking about. He didn't see that from that point what life was really going to be like. How drastic it would change. And all of the marvelous, marvelous miracles that he would see in his lifetime. Amen. He didn't realize that he would put up his nets and he would become a preacher. And he'd become an apostle. And he'd become one of the founders of the Christian church. He never saw that. He, in his wildest imagination, he would never have dreamed. And if you had told him that, he would have laughed and said, "That could never be." But God painted all of that into his portrait. Into his portrait. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He'll do the same for you. Amen. Young people, God's got a great portrait for you. Don't mess it up. Amen. I remember sitting on a pew when I was about 15 years old and could never imagine what God could do with my life. Amen. I tell you what, I've been a lot of places I never thought I'd be. And I've done a lot of stuff I never thought I'd get to do. But it's been awesome living for God. Amen. If you'll live for him, I'm telling you, it'll be a beautiful life. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're a male, he'll give you a beautiful wife like Sister Grissom. Amen. Amen. And if you're a female, he'll give you a wonderful husband like Brother Grissom. Amen. I'm just kidding. I'm not braggadocious here tonight. I'm just trying to make a point. Amen. Amen. Back by the bacon. How's that? Amen. Praise the Lord. But God, he'll take your life and he'll paint beautiful things into it. He'll paint a beautiful family. Amen. He'll paint peace in your house. He'll paint righteousness into your life. He'll paint joy on your face. He'll paint purpose into your days. Amen. Just give God an opportunity, what he can do. Somebody said, "But what about me, brother?" Amen. Well, I'm telling you, everybody here tonight, it doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. God can still paint beauty into your portrait. When he paints himself in there, and he paints his spirit, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love to watch people receive the Holy Ghost. I love to watch people when they repent of their sins and all of a sudden you see this great peace come upon them. And that heaviness is gone. And that weariness is removed. And all of a sudden, Jesus paints peace on them. And then I love to watch people when they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And this look of joy. Amen. The Bible said it's unspeakable joy. And it just, God paints that into the portrait. It's an awesome picture. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to invite you tonight to pray and to this altar. Amen. If you need a new beginning, this is the place to start. This is the place to start. Amen. The Bible said repent. That means you just make a 180-degree turn. You say, "I've been going the wrong way. I'm going to turn around. I'm going the right way. I've been walking away from God. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to walk with God. Amen. I've been doing what's wrong. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to do what's right. That's all repentance is. It's just making up your mind that you're going to live God's way instead of your way. Amen. And there's a call to repentance here tonight. Praise God. You know, repentance is not just for people that have never repented. It's for saints of God. If you've been doing things wrong, you need to get things right tonight. And this is an opportunity to do that. Amen. If there's some things, not necessarily you're not doing anything wrong. You're just not doing some things that you know you ought to be doing. And you're not doing it. Amen. This is the time to start doing that. Doing what's right. You know it's right. You know you need to be doing it. But you're not. Amen. It's the time to give it to God. Give Him an opportunity to come into your life. Make some changes in you. Hallelujah, Lord. I haven't been praying like I ought to pray. Well, this is a good time to make that dedication to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've been living on the premises instead of in the center of the will of God. Well, it's time to get in the center of the will of God. I've been putting up with things in my life that I don't need to be putting up with. Now it's time to get rid of those things and let joy and righteousness and peace and power fill you. Amen. That's what the altar's all about. Amen. I invite you. Let's come. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord right now. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're not ready to come to the altar, just raise your hands right where you are. Just begin to talk to the Lord. Amen. Just to close your eyes and shut yourself in with Jesus and just begin to talk with Him right now. Jesus Christ, I need You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for mercy. Thank You for patience. Thank You for long-suffering.